for him for a long time, and you pray that he will get saved. Amen. So many people like that are so close. You know, we've given the gospel to them so many times, and it just seems like they're so close to making that decision. But there is a spiritual battle there, and there's a lot of things against them. The state church is very powerful there, as far as they have a hold on the people. They teach that when you're sprinkled as a baby, that is being born again. So there's a whole, a person has a baby born, they want to take their baby to the state church and be sprinkled because they don't want their baby to go to hell. And actually, when Jonathan was born, they fought us there. They kept telling us that in order to get a birth certificate, that he had to be baptized or sprinkled. And I said, no, we're not going to do that. I'm preaching the gospel here. I'm not going to get my son sprinkled. Amen. A lot of Baptists in the past gave their lives because of that, because they wanted the truth to be preached. But finally, the diocese from the capital city called me up, and they said, you do know that you're dooming your son to hell. And I said, well, we don't want him to be a member of the state church. Amen. We'll be fine. Amen. We'll teach him the word of God, teach him the truth. But there is a strong hold on the people there. And even our friend that has been out many times, sometimes his wife will get upset with him because he's been coming around too long, too many times. And she'll say, I don't want you to spend time with the American or with the Baptist. So you pray for us. Pray for the ministries there. Amen. But God has done a miracle. Look at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And I wanted to thank you for going all out and decorating for us. We feel right at home. Luke chapter 5, verse 4, it says, now when he had left speaking, that's Jesus, he said unto Simon, right, Simon Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Launching out into the deep. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house again. We're just thankful, Lord, for this church, Faith Baptist Church, Pastor Pease, Lord, and these faithful people. Thank you for their just involvement in world missions. Lord, just thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Lord, we're so glad that we know you as Lord and Savior. And we pray for anyone here tonight who has never trusted you, that they would do that today. Lord, we pray just for the preaching of your word, that you would challenge us and encourage us and convict us where needed. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as I read the Gospels, there's a lot about the sea, about boats, about fishermen, right? How many of the disciples were fishermen? Well, at least four of them, right? That's one third of the disciples were fishermen. Jesus did a lot of traveling around the Sea of Galilee. How many times do we read about Jesus and boats, right? He stood in the boat. He sat in the boat. He slept in the boat. The Bible says Jesus went to the cities and the villages, preaching and teaching. He went to the rich and to the poor. He went to the upper class and the outcast. In the book of Acts, we read about the Macedonian call. Do you remember reading about that? Remember Paul, the Apostle Paul, had a vision, and the man said, come over and help me. The Bible says that immediately Paul loosed from Troas. What does that mean? That means he got on a boat to take the gospel to the people in Macedonia. Amen? What about the songs in our songbook that deal with the sea? Jesus saves. Have you ever read that first verse? Send the light. And then one of my favorites we just sang, throw out the lifeline. Amen. And as I read the Gospels, they remind me of Greenland. You know, Greenland, we have boats. We have the sea. We have fishermen. Now, we live in Disco Bay. Now, the word disco has nothing to do with music. Okay, that's just the Danish name because I guess it's shaped like a disc. But we live in the Disco Bay about 200 miles north of the Arctic Circle. And in our bay, there's 11 other towns and villages. And the only way to reach those towns and villages is by boat. In all of Greenland, there's 70 towns and villages that are all along the coast. And there's only 10 runways in the entire country. And the towns are not connected by roads. So the only way to reach a lot of these towns is with a boat. Amen? But in Greenland, there's many, many, many fishermen. If you aren't a fisherman, then you're related to a fisherman. Amen? And fishermen use boats, right? Lots of boats. Now, if you were to see our harbor, you saw actually some of the pictures. Our harbor is small. And in the summer, they put in these pontoon docks where you can tie your boat. And now the fishermen, they have, just like Americans have two or three cars, the fishermen have two or three boats. That's their livelihood. But then there's other people that have boats. You know, in Greenland, in the summertime, people just want to get away from the big city. Our big city has 5,000 people. So you know, what do? They get in our boat and they go to a summer home. Now, do you know what a summer home is? A shack without plumbing or electricity. But they got to get away from the big town. But you know, you'll be watching the harbor and you'll see a boat coming into the harbor and you'll be thinking, where is that boat going to tie up? There's no room on the docks. And that boat will get in between two boats and just start ramming those boats. And finally, those boats begin to separate and they're able to pull their boat in there. Can you imagine doing that in America? You'd get shot, wouldn't you? But we call it bumper boats. You know, we have our boat's too big to be tied to the docks. So we actually anchor our boat, which is still it's a hassle because there's not a lot of room. But we have boats that run into our boat when we're anchored. But look at verse number 1 of Luke chapter 5. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him," who's him? Jesus, "to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and he saw." He stood and he saw. Stood by the lake. In this passage, there's a progression of God's work in a person's life. We see Jesus was where? On the shore. You know, the safest place to be is on the shore. You don't have to worry about drowning. You don't have to worry about sinking. Amen. How many of you have ever been out in the deep sea? Anyone? How many of you have ever been out so far that you could not see land? That can be a scary place to be in, especially depending on what kind of vessel you're in. Now, we had a Bible college student, come and intern in Greenland for a few weeks. And I took him seal hunting with one of my native friends. And this was just a 12-foot open boat. And we got way out in the middle of the bay, and then my friend, I didn't know he was going to do this. My native friend, turned the motor off. He reached down in the middle of the boat on the inside and removed part of the bottom of the boat. And there was water in there, and he started bailing the water out with a little paper cup. And a Bible college student, he looked at me and he said, "Is it safe to be out here?" And I said, "I don't know, it's too late to ask that. We need to pray." But the safest place is to be on the shore, isn't it? Now, we, as I said, we live in the Disco Bay, and actually our town is called Ilulissat, which means icebergs, and that's because we are right beside a glacier, and they say it's one of the most productive glaciers in the world. It puts out enough ice in one day it could supply New York City with fresh water for a year. So there's, you saw the pictures, of course you saw it, right? And one time we had a guy come from Alaska to visit us, and he looked out the window the first morning, and he said, I didn't remember that mountain. And I said, "Brother, that's not a mountain, that's an iceberg." He said, "I'm from Alaska. I know what an iceberg is. That is not an iceberg." Well, about 2 hours later, he looked out. He said, the mountain moved. Yeah. We also have, in our bay, we have two currents going in opposite directions. One coming from this way, one coming from this way. And there's been times that we've been in a boat and there's icebergs coming from both directions, and we have to decide if we try to gun it or if we back up. And, of course, sometimes you cannot avoid, of course, the small chunks of ice you saw in the video. And, I mean, it's wall-to-wall ice. There was a time many years ago I was with a friend, and we were in the water, and there was just wall-to-wall ice, and he would hit the ice so hard that the boat would shake and shudder. And I remember just praying and saying, "Lord, if you get me safely to shore, I will never, ever get it in another boat." But Lord had other plans. Amen. But the safest place is on the shore. I know each year there's a lot of people that are lost at sea in Greenland. I don't know if you heard about the tsunami that hit Greenland a few years ago. There was an earthquake and it shook a mountain and the rocks broke off. And it was like a mountain slide. And they went into the water and sent a tidal wave to this little village of 50 people. And several of the houses were swept into the water. And there was one family, actually, specifically a family of three, and they were lost and they were never found. But there is an organization in Europe that tracks earthquakes and tsunamis. You know, they have a radar system, and they knew the earthquake hit. They knew a tsunami was on its way, but they had no way of warning that little village. They could warn the cities, but they had no way of warning these little villages. There is an organization here today called the Faith Baptist Church. Amen. And they have a radar system called the Word of God, and it warns the world of God's coming judgment on sinners and on this world. And we have a warning system in place. Amen. It's called missions. Jesus Christ instituted that, right? Missions. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. And we need to get involved in missions, don't we? The safest place may be on the shore, but where are the fish? The fish are in the sea. Look at verse 2. It says, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. The disciples were washing their nets. That means they were in the water, right? They got in the water. They got their feet wet. They were wading in the water. And we need to get into the water. We need to get our feet wet. How many of you have ever been swimming? And when you first get in that water, it's cold, right? You put your foot in there, your hand in there, and it's cold, right? And slowly you get into the water. You know, some of you kids probably just jump right in, right? That's how some of you, that's how some of my kids are crazy to jump right in, right? But you know me, I'm too old for that. I go in slow, right? And then it gets comfortable, right? And then you don't want to get out. That's the way the work of God is, right? That's the way missions is. You know, at first it may be a little uncomfortable. Maybe you're not used to it, right? But once you get into it, once you get involved in God's work, you want to stay involved in God's work. Amen? Praise God for this church involved in missions. But we need to get into the water, don't we? Now, my father-in-law, he is 72. He'll be 72 years old. And he literally jumped in with both feet. Now, first of all, he's the one that really helped us get our boat ministry going. Now, years ago, he was against us going to Greenland because he didn't want his daughter going to Greenland. And he would write me some really harsh emails because of some of the living conditions at first. But then he came and saw the mission field firsthand, and it really changed his life. And now he's our biggest supporter. He helped us. You know, we prayed about this boat ministry for years, but he came and he saw the need and he said, we have to get a boat. But a few years ago, you know, I told you our boat is tied, anchored in the harbor. So we have a gummy boat that we use to get from our boat to the harbor, or from the harbor to the boat. And my father-in-law was getting into the gummy boat, and he was trying to get it unstuck from all those boats. And he fell over and into the water with his overalls, his coat, his boots. And praise God, he didn't drown. But he got his feet wet, right? So what is our excuse tonight? Why can't we get involved in missions, right? You're never too young. You're never too old. There's always something to do in the house of the Lord, right? And that's where it begins. You don't have to go to Greenland to do something for God. Amen. You understand that? I hope you understand that. You don't have to be called to be a preacher or to be a pastor to do something for God. There is something for everybody to do in the house of God. And it all starts right here. And this week, of course, there's a lot of helpers that are needed for the kids' crusade. Amen. You need to get involved, right? You need to get your feet wet. Amen. Look at verse number three. It says, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. Now, first of all, verse 2, how many ships were there? Two. And it says that the fishermen were gone out of them. So how many empty boats were there? Two, right? Both of them. And then it says in verse 3 that he entered into one of the ships. Jesus stepped into one of the boats, right? And you and I need to get into the boat with Jesus. But I think about Jesus, when he saw those two empty vessels, those two empty ships, he thought of all the potential if those ships were being used, right? If those ships were being used to catch fish, just how many fish they could catch, right? And what about you and I? I think about the potential that the Lord sees. Aren't you glad that God wants to use us in his work? And he sees a lot of potential here tonight. But are we like those vessels that are sitting empty and not being used? There's a lot of potential here. You say, well, I don't have a lot of gifts. I don't have a lot of talent. Well, amen. That's the people that God wants to use, right? Because if we have no gifts, no talents, which we all do, but if we say we don't, well, then God will get all the glory and praise out of the work that he does. Several years ago, we were able to purchase that church building you saw, 2,000 square feet. That is big for the Arctic, and it's a miracle that we have it. But it needed some work. And there was a church that sent us a crate of tools. And the best way to describe these tools is they were worn out, broken tools. We had a level that wasn't level. And we didn't know that until we installed some windows and doors. So now we walk like this. No. And then we had a hammer. The first time we used the hammer, the claws went flying off the back. And there was a table saw from the 60s, and it was old, broken parts. And then after that, a few months later, we had a work group come. And there was a master carpenter, and he came, and he saw the tools, and he kind of chuckled a little bit. He was thinking, he'd heard stories about missionaries getting used things, but he'd never seen it firsthand like this. But you know what? He was a master carpenter. He didn't sit around complaining. You know what he did? He used what was available. One time he used a sawzall. Do you know what a sawzall is? I'm not a carpenter, but I've learned, you know, as a missionary, you learn to do everything. You learn to be a plumber, you learn to be an electrician, you learn to do everything. But he used a sawzall to cut a hole in a countertop to install a sink. And that's usually not what you use. You usually use a sawzall if you want to destroy some things, right? But you know what? When he was done, you couldn't tell. You couldn't tell he used a sawzall. It looked beautiful. And you know what? He used what was available. And we have a master carpenter, Jesus Christ. And when he has a job to do and he goes to the tool shed, he doesn't look in there and say, oh, I wish brother so-and-so were here. Oh, I wish sister so-and-so were here. No, he goes in that tool shed and he uses what is available. Are you available tonight? Amen. You say, oh, I'm nothing but a worn out tool. Well, that's okay. In the master's hand, he can make something beautiful out of you, right? A tool is nothing, right? Tool is just an object. It's the carpenter that has to do the work and make it look beautiful. And God can make something beautiful out of your life. Amen. We're just a base thing. But the Bible says that we have this treasure in our earthen vessels. Are you available? Peter was glad that he got into the boat with Jesus, wasn't he? He was glad he let Jesus have control of his boat. Look at verse 3, the middle part there. It says, and he prayed him, Jesus prayed him, that he would thrust out a little from the land. Still not enough just to get into the boat. You need to thrust out a little, right? God wants us to experience his blessings, right? And you're not going to fully experience those blessings until you thrust out a little. And you may say, well, you know, I'm too afraid. Well, that's what he says. He said, thrust out a little. You know, you can go out a little, give out a gospel tract, and you can still see Faith Baptist Church. Amen? You're not too far from the shore, right? You can invite your neighbor out to the house of God. You can invite your coworker out to the house of God, your family members. You know that God's called us to Greenland. I'm never going to be able to reach the people that you can reach, just like you can't reach the people that I can reach. We all have a job to do, and we need to thrust out a little, don't we? Look at verse 3, the last part. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, okay, stop right there. Jesus taught the people, right? He preached to those people, didn't he? He got in the boat. And he preached to those people that were on the shore. You know, our boat in Greenland, on the side, it says Evangeliu, which means the gospel. And we call it the gospel boat. But you know, the very first gospel boat was Peter's boat, wasn't it? Jesus used that as a pulpit to preach the gospel to those people on the shore. Amen. And we have a lot of plans for our gospel boat. You know, we want to visit these villages again. We want to give out gospel tracts. We want to try to go back later and start a ministry in these towns if God will allow us, if there's people that are interested. Of course, we need more people. Amen. We need more missionaries. Amen. I'm trying to raise my family to be missionaries, and then we'll have some help. Amen. Then I'll be able to, you know, they'll be able to help me. I can just tell them what they need to do. Amen. Look at verse 4. It says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. Right? Not enough just to thrust out a little. Then you have to launch out into the deep. And what does that mean? That means total surrender, right? Let go and let God. We need to let God have control of us. We need to listen to his voice, right? And do what he tells us to do. Amen? And that's really when you're going to see the full blessing of God in your life is when you give him everything. Look at the last part of verse 4. Jesus said, let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. You know, they were done fishing. They had put their nets away. And these guys knew how to fish. They weren't lazy, right? They knew what they were doing. I think about the Greenlandic fishermen. They are some of the toughest people I know. You know, when the harbor freezes over, you think they quit fishing? No, they actually pull their boats to the edge of the ice and they'll push their boats in the water and go fishing. You saw in the video, right? Them pulling their boat right up on the ice. They don't stop. And if it gets too bad and the ice goes way out into the bay, then they go ice fishing. Amen? And they put a hole in the ice and they fish that way. They don't quit, do they? And, you know, sometimes we can get a little weary in well-doing. And that's not a good place to be in. You know, we should never get weary. If we're getting weary in God's work, we're doing too much in our own strength. And we need to let God do the work, right? We need to let go and let God. A few years ago, there was a boat with five people on board that hit a mountain, a rock in the water. We've been in our boat a few times, and we're coming through this little area, and then all of a sudden we can see rock, and we're, you know, put the boat in reverse real quick. I mean, it's a scary thing. When the tide's, you know, up and down, you know, sometimes you don't see it when the tide's up, and then you see it when the tide's down. But there was a boat that hit one of these rocks, these mountains under the sea, and the boat began to sink, and there was a guy who, he on the boat, who radioed for help. We have a search and rescue in the area, and you can radio for help on the radio. And that happened in the evening, and then that morning we were out in the bay. Now, we weren't near them, we were just out in the bay. It's a big area, but we could hear the search and rescue talking on the radio, and they would give updates, and they would give out the last known coordinates, a GPS coordinates of that boat, and they were able to find one person that was still alive, and they found one body. And I remember all day hearing the updates, and finally in the afternoon they said, "We're done, the search is over." And it's kind of a surreal moment just thinking about those three people that were never found. They were lost at sea, but it was quitting time. You know, I'm glad that Jesus Christ never quits fishing for men. Amen. And if you're here tonight and if you've never been saved, you know what? Jesus wants you to be saved. He wants you to get into that net, amen, that gospel net, and be saved. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But the gift of God, right? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can be saved tonight. All you have to do is turn to Christ, amen, and trust him, and he'll save you. It's that simple, isn't it? But the Lord never takes a day off from fishing for men, and neither should we. And look what it says there. In the last part of that verse, it says, "Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." You know, it kind of reminds me of pioneer missions. There were times that I felt like I toiled all night and caught nothing. You know, studying in the languages, hours, days, weeks, months. Just putting so much time into it and getting discouraged. I mean, there'd be times that I would spend literally 40 hours in a week to get a 10-minute message in Greenlandic. And I think, well, man, I wish this was English. It would be so much easier. And toil and trying to get people to come to church, you know, having no gospel tracts in the language and just really getting weary. And, wondering, why am I here? But nevertheless, at thy word, right? Nevertheless, they said, "At thy word, I will let down the net." And I praise the Lord that there were times that we were discouraged, but we saw God do the impossible. And we saw God give the increase. Several years ago, there was a lady walking down the street, and we gave her a gospel tract. A year later, she called us up and said, "I have my ticket. Can I come to the Baptist church?" And she got saved. And she didn't get saved right away. It took months and months and hours of time. Carol and I just sitting there and going through the Bible and showing what the Bible says. But we praise God for that. I told you a little bit about our children's ministry. You saw the video in there, up there. We had over 100 different kids come through our ministry last year. They're hearing the gospel in their own language. They're quoting, they can quote John 3:16 from memory. I can look at any of the adults or children that come to our ministry, and they will say John 3:16 from memory. Before we got back here, we had them memorize Romans Road, 11 verses. And Romans Road is a lot longer in Greenlandic than it is in English. But here are children memorizing and adults memorizing the scripture. Their favorite song is the B-I-B-L-E, which in Greenlandic it's the B-E-E-B-E-L-E, B-B-D. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. And we must not quit. We must not. Don't do it on your own. Let God use us and don't quit. And look at verse number 7. We're almost done here. It says, "And they beckoned unto their partners." Well, verse 6. "And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship." How many ships in the beginning? Two empty ships. Now we have two ships being used, "that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink." Amen. That day, those men had the greatest catch of fish ever. And a few verses later, Jesus says, "Follow me and I will make you" what? "Fishers of men." They left it all behind. They could have retired. They could have sold those fish and bought new boats and new nets and new equipment. But they gave that all up to follow Jesus Christ. And a few years later, they had the greatest catch of men on the day of Pentecost. Amen. One more story, then we're done here. Several years ago, Greenland is a dangerous place. I tell you these stories, so every time you hear about us being in the gospel boat, you can pray for us better, right? Now you know what to think about, you know, ice and rocks. But several years ago, there was a 12-year-old boy with his parents and his uncle, and they hit an iceberg, and three adults fell overboard. And the 12-year-old was left all by himself. Anybody here that's 12 years old? But that 12-year-old didn't know how to operate a boat, obviously, but they were able to get on the radio and call for help. Now, there was no GPS tracker on that boat, so all he could do was cry out for help. And all night, cried out for help, until finally the next day, a fisherman found that little boy and rescued him. Some people ask, why don't they wear life jackets? Well, by law, they're supposed to have one life jacket on board per person. But you know what? They don't think that will ever happen to them. They don't think they'll ever have an accident. And it really reminds me of the spiritual condition of people, right? They don't think they're ever going to die. They don't really ever think they're going to stand before God, right? And they get complacent in their lives. But I think about all the people that have perished in their sins. But I think about all those that haven't perished yet but are sinking and are crying out for help, right? And a lot of them don't even know, they don't know what they need, but we know what they need. Amen. They're in their sins. I mean, their lives have been destroyed and ruined by sin, by this world. This world is not kind. And we need to reach those people. We need to get the gospel to them. We need to get the gospel to those villages in Greenland. Amen. We need to get the gospel to the people right here in Elizabeth City. You need to reach the ones that are here. Amen. And we need to all get involved in missions and reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, there's an organization, the Faith Baptist Church. Amen. And there is a radar system, right, called the Word of God. And there is a warning system so every soul can be reached in this world. To preach the gospel to every creature. If Jesus wouldn't have said that if it wasn't possible. Amen. We can preach the gospel to every creature by being involved in missions. And remember, the one who said to launch out into the deep is the same one that walked on the water. Amen. Pastor Pease.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Shaw, for the